For a few minutes this evening, I want to draw your attention to a verse of Scripture in Acts, chapter number 4. The disciples were struggling with some things in this passage, in this time. I don't know, I suppose that we could even draw some comparisons from that age and generation to this age and this generation. Think that it's a reasonable thing that we could attempt anyway. But there's something that's more important to us than drawing the comparisons of the happenings. Some people, as they look at chapter 4, they see and I thought that it'd be kind of nice to maybe take the time to read several of these verses and then let you give feedback as to what stands out the most. And I dare say, not pointing any fingers of accusation or that anybody's thinking about it wrongly in any way, but I dare say that some people, as they look at this with the light of recent history going 12 years, 16 years, whatever, that what would stand out would be something in two words: civil disobedience. You know, it depends on how we're looking at things as to what we really see. You know, how many times have you read Scripture and you've read it over and over again, and one time something stood out to you that you've read a number of times before, but because of something somewhere, the Holy Spirit shining a special light, you saw it differently. It stood out to you. Somebody might see, because of what the disciples were facing, the threat that came to them specifically, that they had a choice to make. They had some decisions to come to. What were they going to do about this? But there's something that I want us to notice this evening that they did do. And I think that that's something that we should do, no matter what our circumstances are. But I believe that what we are into, looking at 2021 and the unknowns before us, I think that this is something that we should do. Verse number 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. I don't know how long it's been since it first stood out to me, those words, the place was shaken, but it stood out to me a number of times, and here of late it's been standing out to me again. The place was shaken. Now, I think that you're a little bit familiar with me and my desire to look at different translations, to see different wordings. And it seems like every translation that I use commonly to look at, that I look at often, they all use the word or something similar to the word shaken. One translator uses the word, I believe it says shook the place. You know, I thought that perhaps the place was shaken was some kind of a figurative thing. Maybe in the back of my mind I was hoping that it was some kind of a figurative thing. Because if it's a literal thing, what would we do if the place was shaken? What would we do? You know, what were their buildings like back then? That the place was shaken. Are we ready to come in here with the sandpaper and drywall mud and who knows what all we'd have to do to repair the place if the place was shaken? You know, it depends on how hard it was shaken. What I'm driving at is that there was something that took place. There was a divine encounter. Matthew Henry says it this way: the place was shaken that their faith might be established and unshaken. The place was shaken so that their faith would be established and unshaken. The place was shaken. I said this morning that there is a great need for a personal divine encounter in so many people's lives, and really in all of our lives. Even though I have been privileged and blessed to experience personal encounters where I know of a surety that God's hand, that God did, that God answered, God prevailed. You know, I have images and memories stamped into my mind, into my thinking, that God in his miraculous power performed things that were unbelievable had I not seen it for myself. The place was shaken so that their faith would not be shaken. The place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, we could spend a little bit of time here talking about Peter, because this is who it's talking about. He's one of the main people here. He's one of the main characters in this story. And we know about Peter, how he was a different person prior to Pentecost than what he was after Pentecost. Now, he wasn't different in that God changed his whole personality. He was still a mouth before, and he was still a mouth after. But there was a change in how that mouth performed and what that mouth said and the boldness that he had to stand up against or to stand firm for the principles or the power or Christ himself. The place was shaken. What does that all mean? How does that all come to pass? How does that really point to us? You know, when we read this, if we were to take the time to read the previous 30 verses, we would understand more clearly what was going on, what was taking place. But if we just take this particular verse and stamp it right here into Wiseball Community Church, what does it have for us? We need to pray, that's for sure. We need a divine encounter, that's for sure. But the ultimate, the end result makes it sound like it's all over, but I don't want it to be that thought in our mind, but the cap sheave perhaps of it all that brings it all together, what we need to be a result at the end of prayer and a divine encounter is that our hearts are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the bottom line. Filled with the Holy Spirit. I've been referencing here of late this thing of for such a time as this. I can't tell you exactly how many times I've referenced it in the last few weeks or maybe months, but I know I mentioned it this morning. I believe I may have mentioned it somewhat last week. And you know, there's such a thing. It's a reality for such a time as this. I believe that God has appointments for us. I believe that God has plans for us. We've heard about some of those plans from different individuals, how out in the middle of life, in the middle of nowhere, so to speak, in the sense of life itself, God brings together people and makes connections and conversations and questions and the opportunity to answer and the opportunity to pray with people. Those divine appointments and those divine encounters that God's using people, you people, to be a part of for such a time as this. But the great need is for us to be filled with His Spirit so that we can fulfill God's appointments for that particular time. You see, we can't do it on our own. We can't. Oh, God may still come. God will surely still come. God will still take the words of Scripture and use them. But for us to be able to fulfill the appointment that God has for us for such a time as this demands or requires that we be filled with His Spirit. Peter couldn't do what he did after Pentecost, before Pentecost. We find even in this particular passage that you could probably say that he even trembled a little bit in these circumstances until they got together to pray. Not just by himself, but he got together. They united together to pray. They sought God together. Was encouraged this morning to see a couple of extras, young ones coming into the early prayer time. And I thought that I could even hear an extra voice in there, that they were being taught to pray and allow their prayers to be heard audibly, not just in the whispers to God's ears, but to be heard. There was a teaching. It was a beautiful scene this morning. You see, I think that I believe that we need to get together to pray. And if we can't get together to pray, that we unite together in common agreement and in common time to pray. Fast and pray. Do we still believe in fasting? Do we still participate in fasting? Fasting food, fasting something of a personal desire, fasting laying aside to focus our attention in prayer. Filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can fulfill God's appointment for their time or for our time. For such a time as this. Do you have any appointments? God has some. I believe God has some for us. I don't know when. I don't know where. I don't know what age But I'm thinking that some of these, you know, they have appointments at early ages sometimes. It's so very, very vital, necessary, parents, that we train our children to be sensitive, to be obedient, to hear, and to... They may not understand it any more than we do. But there's divine appointments. I woke up Thursday morning with somebody on my mind. Oh, this person's been on my mind at different times across the years, but I felt Thursday morning I needed to make a trip and visit that person. You know, I don't really want to do that. There's so many things going on. There's so many things that are taking place. It wasn't Thursday. It was Tuesday. Sorry. It was Tuesday morning. Tuesday. So I text my wife. I said, I don't know if you're up yet, but get up and get around. We're going on a trip. I don't know why I felt like I needed to make that trip that day, but by the time I got back in the early hours and the wee minutes of the next day, I realized, I knew by that time that it was a divine appointment. Oh, no, no. I didn't see great miraculous things take place, but I believe that it was a divine appointment. You say, well, I can't do that. I understand that not everybody is able to do that kind of an appointment, but God has an appointment. He has something for such a time as this. And if you and I don't have a personal divine encounter and the infilling, that fullness of the Holy Spirit, then when we reach that point of appointment, we may not be able to fulfill the needs of that appointment if we aren't filled with His Spirit. I want Suzanne, if she will, to come to the piano, and I want you to take your songbooks. Now, I would really like for this to flow real smoothly, but I know how I am with hearing music at times. And we're going to sing the song here, the chorus on 297, and then we're going to jump over to 302. And if you'll notice, underneath the title of Spirit of the Living God, you see this verse referenced. I didn't choose it because of that. I just felt drawn to that, and then I noticed it. The place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's seek Him. And let's... let Him fill us tonight. Go ahead.